It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. We're just a week away from the Iowa caucuses, where 11 Democrats are vying to win, place, or show, and get the primary season's most important asset, momentum. But while Iowans get to weigh in early, New York voters have to wait until the end of April. New Jersey voters have to wait until June. Joining us to explain why, WNYC's election editor, Matthew Sherman. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
So, Matthew, by the time the New York primary comes around, 34 states will have voted and 70% of the delegates will have been committing to a particular candidate. Isn't that a problem?
Yes, it's a problem on a lot of fronts. For one, winners of the early contests get more press attention and more donations. And for another, candidates drop out as the primary season goes on. I talked to Lisa Parshall, a political scientist at Damon College in Western New York, and she says this is tantamount to disenfranchising citizens in later voting states.
Mm-hmm. Either they have a more limited range of options among candidates, a viable candidate still remaining on the ballot, or again, in worst case scenario, their vote doesn't matter at all because the nomination has already been determined by the sequence of contests before them.
In 2008, for example, John McCain had already clinched the Republican nomination by March 4th. And in 2004, John Kerry was the only remaining Democrat in the field as early as March 2nd.
All right, the first two states that vote, Iowa and New Hampshire, are hardly representative of the country. Matthew, give us a little history lesson here. Why do they get to vote first?
Well, each state gets to choose when to hold their primary, and many of them change from year to year. But both the Democratic and Republican national committees punish states that go too early. They'll reduce or eliminate the number of delegates the state gets to send to the convention, mm-hmm. for example. There have been attempts to change this, but they've failed. In the late 1970s, for example, Democrats reconsidered their system, but Jimmy Carter was president at the time. He had won both Iowa and New Hampshire, and he wasn't about to alienate voters in those states by subverting their status right before he ran for a second term. Mm-hmm. There have been some changes along the way. For example, Nevada and South Carolina have been given third and fourth place to create more racial and geographic diversity in the early contests.
Now, tell us why it would be wrong to have a national primary day where all states hold their contests on the same day.
Yeah, well, most Americans support the idea of a national primary. Polls have been taken that show that, but party officials tend to be against it. Elaine Kmark is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a member of the Democratic National Committee. So she studied the primary system from inside it and out. This is what she has to say.
And the larger argument is that a national primary would always favor somebody who had already a national reputation so that, you know, other candidates could not emerge as they do in this system.
Barack Obama is a good example. He arguably would never have beaten Hillary Clinton in 2008 if he hadn't won the Iowa caucus. He's also a good counterpoint to the argument that an African American can't win the early states. Mm-hmm. In fact, his victory in Iowa convinced a lot of people that a black man could win the whole country. This year, the poster child for this approach here is Pete Buttigieg.
All right.
He didn't have a national profile. He's just a mayor of a small Indiana city, but he's attracted supporters who think that Iowa gives him a fighting chance.
All right, fair enough. But why are New York and New Jersey stuck at the back of the pack? I mean, couldn't they nudge their primaries up just a little bit, maybe to March, to have more relevance?
Well, New Jersey's doing it to save money. It'll hold its presidential primary on the same day as its congressional primaries, on June 2nd. New York's not holding those other primaries until late June, but the presidential primary is a different thing. Jay Jacobs, the head of the state's Democratic Party, says there's a trade-off. New York gets 10% more bonus delegates for holding a primary after April 1st, and another 15% for holding a primary along with at least two adjacent states, namely Connecticut and Pennsylvania. So New York will send 319 delegates total to the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee in July. And Jacob says that number will come in handy if no one has clinched the nomination by that point. And he thinks that's possible this year.
You've got the potential of a good number of these candidates at the moment scoring well across the board, such that by the time you get to April or so, no one has a clear path to a majority, so that New York becomes very important.
It's basically a gamble. Do you limit your voters' choices, or do you hold off for a bigger payoff in the end?
All right, we'll see if that gamble pays off. Matthew, thank you so much.
Thanks, Richard.
Matthew Sherman, WNYC's elections editor.